Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Invisible Capital: How Unseen Forces Shape Entrepreneurial Opportunity. Is a nonfiction business and social analysis book by Chris Rabb that examines why entrepreneurial outcomes cannot be explained by money, effort, and ideas alone. Instead of treating startup success as a simple meritocratic process, Rabb argues that people bring different forms of invisible capital to entrepreneurship, including skills, networks, reputation, communication ability, and cultural fluency. The book sits at the intersection of business, sociology, and public policy, and it is especially concerned with how race, class, gender, and community shape access to opportunity. Rather than offering a conventional step-by-step startup manual, it asks readers to rethink the conditions under which businesses are launched and sustained. Its purpose is both diagnostic and corrective, to expose the limits of common entrepreneurial myths and to encourage a more realistic, community-centered approach to building economic opportunity. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, invisible capital as the hidden foundation of entrepreneurial viability. Rabb's central argument is that economic capital alone does not explain who can start and sustain a business. He uses invisible capital to describe the less visible resources that influence entrepreneurial viability, especially human, social, and cultural capital. Human capital includes practical skills, experience, and credentials. Social capital includes networks, reputation, and access to people who can open doors. Cultural capital refers to the ability to operate effectively in different settings and communicate in ways that inspire confidence. This framework matters because it shifts attention away from the myth that great ideas and hard work are enough. Rabb shows that entrepreneurs often fail not because their ideas are weak, but because they lack information, access, or credibility in the environments that determine growth. The concept is useful because it makes opportunity legible as something built from many forms of advantage, not just cash. Secondly, why the rags-to-riches story distorts how entrepreneurship really works. A major purpose of the book is to challenge the familiar American story that entrepreneurship is a pure meritocracy. Rabb argues that this rags-to-riches narrative overstates the power of individual grit and understates the structural conditions that shape outcomes. In his view, many startup discussions focus on attitude, discipline, and funding, while ignoring the uneven playing field that determines who gets a fair chance. This critique is not simply ideological. It is meant to explain a practical problem. If entrepreneurs and policymakers assume that success is mainly personal, then they will overlook the knowledge gaps, social barriers, and institutional gatekeeping that cause many businesses to fail. Rabb's analysis is therefore corrective. It redefines entrepreneurial failure as often being a systems issue rather than a personal defect. That makes the book especially relevant to readers who want a more realistic account of business formation in the United States. Thirdly, entrepreneurship as a social and community-based process. Rabb does not treat entrepreneurship as the work of isolated founders acting alone. He repeatedly emphasizes that communities are major sources of invisible capital and that business creation is embedded in social relationships. This is why the book is often associated with community-centered entrepreneurship and Commonwealth thinking. The point is not simply that support networks are helpful, but that durable businesses depend on broader ecosystems of trust, information, and local capacity. Rabb argues that communities can function as reservoirs of knowledge, mentorship, legitimacy, and customer access, especially for entrepreneurs who do not begin with strong institutional advantages. This perspective also broadens the definition of entrepreneurship beyond the lone founder model. By highlighting community-centered approaches, the book suggests that economic development should be judged not only by individual winners, but by whether opportunity is more widely distributed. That makes the argument relevant to local leaders as well as business owners. Fourthly, race, class, gender, and cultural access as entrepreneurial forces. One of the book's most important contributions is its insistence that entrepreneurship is shaped by social identity, not just personal ambition. Rabb explains that race, class, and gender often appear indirectly through access to networks, confidence in different environments, and the expectations others place on founders. These factors are part of invisible capital because they can determine whether a person is seen as credible, whether they can move comfortably in professional spaces, and whether their background is treated as an asset or a barrier. The book is especially attentive to women entrepreneurs and to people whose opportunities are constrained by social assumptions rather than by lack of talent. This makes the analysis more concrete than a generic discussion of inequality because it links identity to business outcomes through mechanisms such as trust, communication, and institutional access. Rabb's point is that entrepreneurial opportunity is never socially neutral, and any serious account of business development has to address how advantage is distributed. Lastly, a policy-minded critique rather than a standard startup how to guide. Invisible Capital stands out because it is not written as a conventional entrepreneurship manual. It blends sociological analysis, policy critique, and practical reflection, which gives it a broader scope than most business books. RAB is less interested in offering a checklist for founders than in explaining why so many entrepreneurial systems fail to serve ordinary people fairly. This makes the book valuable for civic leaders, advocates, and readers concerned with economic development, not only for startup founders. Its policy dimension matters because it connects entrepreneurial opportunity to larger questions about education, public support, and community revitalization. At the same time, the book has a clear practical purpose if people understand the different forms of capital they already possess. They can make better use of them and build more realistic strategies. The result is a book that functions as both critique and framework, helping readers rethink entrepreneurship as a public and social issue rather than a purely private one. In conclusion, Invisible Capital is best suited for entrepreneurs, small business advocates, economic development professionals, and readers interested in the social conditions behind business formation. It will be especially useful for anyone who wants to move beyond simplified startup advice and understand why access, credibility, networks, and cultural fluency matter as much as ambition. The practical value of the book is in its reframing. It helps readers identify forms of capital that are easy to overlook and recognize why some businesses struggle even when the founder is capable and motivated. Its intellectual value is equally strong because it challenges the standard meritocracy story that dominates popular entrepreneurship culture. What distinguishes the book from many others in the genre is that it does not reduce entrepreneurship to tactics, funding, or inspiration. Instead, it connects enterprise to social structure, community support, and unequal access to opportunity. That wider lens makes it more analytical than motivational and more diagnostic than prescriptive. Readers looking for a deeper account of how entrepreneurship really works will find it unusually thoughtful and relevant. If you would like to support Chris Rabb, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.